everybody. My name's Jen Yuchin.
And I'm Ari Fox.
And we're New Gaming News, a bi-weekly podcast and newsletter focused on the esports and gambling industry. Ari Fox and I went to, or attended the Casino Esports Conference this past weekend in Las Vegas. He obviously produces and runs it. There were definitely a few highlights. I think we could talk first about the keynote, so it's fresh and we're like excited about it. You had the opportunity, Ari, to interview and speak with our two keynote guests, their names being Jay Moses and John Fatality Wendell. Jay Moses is the director of Take-Two Interactive, as well as John Fatality Wendell, who's an esports entrepreneur, ex-pro gamer, and he created his own brand called Fatality Gaming. And he's infamous, and I believe, in the Esports Hall of Fame. So, if you would like to talk a little bit about what you spoke about with them, we do have it on video. It'll be available very soon for everybody who's listening. But why don't you talk a little bit about your interview with them and what you took away from it?
Well, first of all, you got to understand, as esports goes, I mean, Jonathan Fatality Wendell was one of the first ever people. I mean, we can really date back esports. It wasn't even called esports then. It was called some other type of thing. I think it was called computerized competitions or something. I don't remember, but if you look up a YouTube video, there's a YouTube video about how MTV followed him around in the late 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And how he, and that was one of his first sort of like exposures on a mainstream
media
network. I think it really exposed and showed the story and told the story about how, his mother would say or take away his computer for 8 months and, he wasn't, she didn't believe in him and, nobody really believed in him except him. And then he had supporters, like people, like when he started going on a circuit. I mean, the first thing is he had $500 in the bank. He drove down to Texas and stayed at a friend's house for a competition there, and basically told his dad that if he doesn't win that competition, he was going to just hang it up and not do it anymore, and play video games for money anymore.
Yeah.
And he won. And I think what it's about is, I respect his tenacity. I respect his ability to compete. I respect the fact that he never gave up in a activity, and I call it an activity back then, that nobody really could consider something that someone could make a career out of.
Yeah, exactly.
But he turned that all around literally single-handedly. And, that kind of desire, that kind of move, that kind of everything else, that's what it takes. That's passion. That's desire. That's, you don't find that in a lot of people. I mean, a lot of people, will try something, and if they're really, if they don't feel that they have any kind of ability to get it quick enough, they're going to give up on it. He never gave up. He had so many things against him. He had his mother telling him that she was going to ban him from the computer. Eventually, he had to move out of his mother's home because she didn't understand it. She didn't understand what he was doing.
Yeah.
She had no clue what he was doing. And the same goes for, anyone that at this. And so let's fast forward now to the present moment. And, Jonathan has his story to tell. And I have a story to tell. And my story is that I'm doing the same thing Jonathan's doing in some respects. And in the beginning of the keynote, I talked about John Romero, who also was the grandfather, the father of the first person shooter. Created games like Wolfenstein, Doom, and Quake. And so we're in this place where it came out of the whole thing, the embryonic points of modern day esports came out of a desire and passion to make the best game that he could possibly make, and then also to be on the competitive side with you know, John Romero making that best game, and then Jonathan Wendell being the master of that game, or games that, you know, that John Romero made. Mm-hmm. And to me, it's just, you know, to me, I look at that and I go, that's what we have today. When you look and you talk to a gamer, people are passionate about what they want. People are passionate about their play. And it comes from that. There's a soul that exists in the world of esports. And what is really happening here, and I've listened to some, you know, some podcasts. I was listening to William Collis and Paul Dualaby. They have Esport Business, a podcast, and I've read some articles. What's really happening here is what Paul calls people throwing stupid money at esports. And they are. I mean, people are throwing a lot of stupid money.
It's just going everywhere with not much of a plan, just because it's hot.
Right, just because it's hot. So I'm buying a $20 million investment in Overwatch, and I'm not getting any return on it. And yeah. Blizzard and Blizzard Activision, I mean, they always crack on Blizzard Activision, and that makes sense because, listen, Blizzard Activision is not doing their part. They are literally, you know, sort of as William says, or actually Paul says, they're just rolling out a league, whether that be Call of Duty or Overwatch, getting as much money as they possibly can and running for the hills.
So you're saying that Blizzard doesn't care about its audience?
I'm saying that they're not. I'm saying that they're walking in a world of, you know, they're going into dangerous territory where they're losing that soul and passion that their audience has for the games that they create. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying they're not in line with the audience. And we are finding that more and more. And I find that, you know, when I was talking to Jonathan Wendell, I was talking to Jay Moses. Now, Take-Two Media is a whole nother animal. They understand their audience. They understand how to evolve from where they currently are and how to grow. But what I'm trying to say is that, like, we can't ignore the fact that in esports, gamers, professional, amateur, whatever, have a passion for the game. They just do. You can't deny that.
So what do you think Take-Two is doing that those other companies should be doing?
Well, I think Take-Two is I think that with the NBA 2K, for example, with Rockstar, with what they're doing with Rockstar, what they're doing with GTA, you know, they understand their audience is growing older, so they're sort of adjusting what they feel the audience would be interested in, and giving something that, you know, adding things to their game, modifications to their games, to bring another level of entertainment. And not saying they're not running into, like, you know, a league. They're working with the NBA to develop a league with the NBA. So they're not going to jump into something that they don't feel they're going to get. They're not going to have support for.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's a smart move. I mean, Blizzard is just sort of like, I mean, well, you can't really. There's no like real Overwatch. You know, like you know, there's no real. You know, there's no Overwatch, you know, sport. In other words, conventional sport, so to speak, as what we know as conventional sport. It's definitely all esports. And I guess, you know, with Take-Two, they saw the NBA 2K and then said, oh, it can be easily adopted to the NBA.
Well, because it's the same thing, essentially. It's the same exact game. It's just played in a totally different way.
Right, but
so therefore, I feel like they have to work with them.
Right, but it's fill a need. It's see a need, fill a need. What was the need? NBA is losing viewers, right? So they needed to keep viewers, In order to adopt a younger viewership, let's add on to our teams a professional NBA, NBA 2K team. It makes sense. You're keeping an audience engaged. You're getting a younger audience engaged. So that's my point. And that's what I take away from Keynote is that there's a progression. We're moving in a progression with esports. And what I've heard from other people is that esports is still in a growth state, and people are making these investments. And now what we're trying to do with the Casino Esport Conference, which we just had, and which makes the Casino Esport Conference so much more of a valuable asset when you come to it, is that I'm trying to make these people, being the casino industry and investors as a whole, giving them the right tools to make that right decision on what they should be investing in.
Yeah.
It's not about, we can all walk into something blindly, and, you know, as long as it has esports in the title and you have a lot of money, you can run in and sign on the dotted line and say, okay, yeah, that sounds good. I'm going to sign up and make and throw a lot of money at it. If I lose the money, okay, it's a tax deduction. But if I don't, then, you know, I could be making money. But the people running these organizations, the people involved in these organizations, I'm not putting anything against them. They're not seasoned entrepreneurs. They're wasting lots of money in many different places. There has to be some kind of somebody's going to call it out eventually. Somebody's going to say, hey, I put all this money in, where's my return?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, did you sit in the last panel at the CEC with all the investment talk?
I was just about to bring that up. It was the esports investor follow the money panel. Moderator was Robert Heeler, CEO of Spectrum Gaming. One of the guests that really stood out in that panel was Khalid Jones, managing partner of Source Rock Partners, and I believe co-owner of Echo Fox, as well as Melissa Blau. Is that her last name? Melissa Blau.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Adam Rosenberg.
Right, Adam Rosenberg.
They had different opinions on what esports needs to do to reach the mainstream audience more, and I thought it was really interesting because I believe it was Adam, maybe it was Wayne Kimmel. He was saying that until it's on regular TV, like it's not popular, it's not mainstream, which it is on regular channels. I believe it's on ESPN and NBC. But then Khalid Jones stepped in and he explained how he has the total opposite views on that, saying that it's not TV at all, it's all online, it's all these online communities, Twitch, Facebook, Discord, whatever.
Well, let's get something straight. I agree with Khalid. I'm gonna tell you right there. I agree with Khalid. And you know, when you're working and having a casino esports conference, there is, I call it the old guard and the new guard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the new guard understands what the future is and what the audience wants for future fun and entertainment that they want to experience, not only in video gaming and esports, but also at a casino if they're ever going to adopt esports or any video gaming vertical, no matter what it is. It could be peer-to-peer, could be wagering, betting on an esports tournament, what have you, or even holding a tournament themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a misguided, miscommunicated direction that the old guard gets when it comes into video gaming. I mean, listen,
well, that's why this is so important. That's why your conference is so important for the industry, because it really answers those questions for people.
Exactly. I mean, listen, I have nothing against the Philadelphia Fusion. I think they're great team, and they're definitely probably worth their value, because the son of Comcast, the guy who owns Comcast, you know, he wanted to have a team in Philadelphia, and
yeah,
they're building a Fusion Stadium in Philadelphia, and you know, that's also being participated in by 76 Capital, and they've done a great job there. They've pulled in players from all over the world. You know, and they have they all live in Los Angeles. So, you know, it's funny, they have a house in Los Angeles, the son of the owner, or the owner, lives in Los Angeles. But my point is that what I'm trying to say is that, you know, there are quality companies, quality organizations and teams that will, are out there on a professional level that I think will definitely generate some type of fan base and grow. I don't think there's any return right now on they're still in building mode. And the question was posed at the investment panel to Wayne Kimmel, or to all the panelists, who's made money on esports? And Wayne Kimmel is also involved with Nerd Street Gaming.
Okay, so wasn't Wayne that went against Khalid in opinions then? It was Adam Rosenberg, just to clarify.
Right, it was that, but we're talking about two different things. I'm talking about, like, the investment dollars placed in and who's getting a return on it, and Wayne's like, it's a long play. It's a long-term play. We're not, you know. So I'm going, that's, I sort of sidestepped, but getting back to what Khalid said in regards to Rosenberg, I'm trying to tie it in because what I'm saying is that what Adam said and what Khalid said was, obviously, as I said, I listened to Khalid because I agree with Khalid. Television's dead when it comes to this
market,
this genre. I mean, nobody's. I mean, you know, Jen, you're 26 years old. I'm in my, you know, early 50s. I'm not going to date myself, but I'll say my late 40s. But I'm going to just say, I get most of my information from my computer screen. All day long, I get everything I need from my computer screen. I get my weather, I get my news. Why wouldn't I watch my real-time
streaming entertainment
of my esports tournament that I'm interested in watching? Mm-hmm. The international, Dota 2. You know,
totally,
and why
agree.
Wouldn't I watch that? Why wouldn't I watch that? I'm gonna watch it because it's in real time, it's there. And there's, you know, here's the other thing. Television, with all its censorships and everything else, that's not authenticity. You're being fed what the networks wanna feed you. I think that you know, streaming networks are so much more real in content when they're bringing people content.
I agree, because there's no regulations, and there's not that there's no regulations, but there's no one telling the creator what they can and cannot do. Therefore, it's naturally more authentic because there's no no's.
And this is the biggest hurdle that we are going towards, and I could see this as one of the biggest mountains that the old guard, because we talked about them before, is going to have to challenge themselves about. And that's the biggest takeaway I get when every time I have a casino esports conference, and my job is to try to break that belief down, that sense of thinking, their way of thinking, the old guard way of thinking, is a very outdated way.
You have to adapt.
I mean, we have total technology that's completely changing every way that we suck in information, that we watch information, and the way we are entertained. It's all changing. And if they don't adapt, they will die. I am their age, but I understand that I know that things need to change, and they need to change so that they can, so that their audience won't die. Their audience is literally dying. I'm talking about those people that play slot machines, that play the current games that are offered in a casino, whether that be online or brick and mortar.
That's actually perfect, because I wanted to bring up another big question that was brought up that weekend was, what is esports going to do for the casino industry? And a lot of people want to bring in betting and things like that, but of course in the United States there's regulations that are blocking that. But the entertainment factor was a big conversation, bringing the younger audience into the casinos by giving them the entertainment that they're looking for, aka esports and gaming. And I think that got through to a lot of people. It's less a betting industry right now with esports for them, but it's a huge opportunity for entertainment.
True, but I think the barrier to entry is that the regulators from state to state are so old guard, they don't even know where to begin.
Yeah.
When it comes to even understanding the games. So you have to have the regulators approve what is being brought in. And, you know, there was a GLI, which is the Gaming Lab Institute, which is located here in New Jersey. It started here in New Jersey. What they do is they're one of the sort of like, you know, they put a rubber stamp on, you know, different games that come through their lab that they can approve for regulatory use. When it gets to the states. So, for example, they're kind of like when a new drug comes out and a new drug needs to be approved by the FDA. Well, before it gets to the FDA, a company like Johnson & Johnson is going to have a whole regulatory department. And what they do is they test the drug many, 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 many times and make sure that, you know, that it's not, you know, detrimental or that there's no way of, you know, someone's going to get sick or whatever. Or, you know, they try to, like, they say, you know, and then they finally come out with it and they put it out on the market because the FDA approved it. And they said, oh, this may cause this, this may cause that, this may cause, you know, nausea, whatever. There's all these side things, but they found that it's not going to kill you. And the GLI is the same kind of company. It's a regulatory body that goes through the games and says that this cannot be cheat. You know, no one can cheat at this. And so it kind of goes through that. And with esports or video gaming competitions, if they decided they were going to do a peer-to-peer play, of course, what would have to happen is if it's an Xbox or if it's a PlayStation or if it's just a computer, all those things would have to be approved through GLI before it could be approved by the regulator, the regulators. So the people, companies like GLI or BMM Labs, these are companies that approve the games, the consoles, and everything that's played through those games. So what I'm trying to get at is that I know for a fact that only about 2 or 3 months ago, GLI hired 6 people specifically for video gaming and esports. Because the casino industry knows that it's coming. But there is a lot of people, and this is the hard, this is the barrier to entry. This is also a political problem. I can't say it's so political, but it's monetary. It's monetarily a problem. When a casino puts a slot machine on a floor, that machine's making them money right away. I mean, look. I mean, Jen, you were, what, 3 days in Las Vegas, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or 4 days. Did you put money in a slot machine?
Not once.
Not once. Good. Because you're a smart millennial and you understand that that's not a good way to, that's not a good offer of your money. But if you're there long enough, you might walk by one and say, you know what, that one's pretty cool. It says Big Bang Theory on it.
Well,
and
I would. I don't know if we're allowed to talk about Next Gaming, but I would... What they're putting out is really appealing,
right?
I think.
And during the keynote, we had the president of Atari. We had the president of Taito Games. Those are the guys that originally started Space Invaders. And NextGen is doing an amazing job because they're really bridging a gap between the older generation, my generation, that played those games in arcades,
yeah,
that can now play them on a casino floor.
Just for context for the listeners, essentially Next Gaming is putting out these machines. They're partnering with Atari, putting out cool games like Centipede, Space Invaders, what have you, but on a gambling level. So you put in money, the more levels that you beat, the more money you can make off of it. And when I sat down and played it, not being a gambler, but very much so being a gamer, I did not want to get up. I think I did 10 levels, and I wanted to keep going.
Because you loved it.
I loved it. It was really good, and I would definitely spend money to gamble on that, because there's a sense of you're doing something.
Right, and they, you know, that's a category that they call skill-based gaming, obviously. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have more of that at the CEC in 2020. There was a gentleman that spoke. His name's Blaine Grayboys. You may have met him. Normally, he usually just wears all black.
Mm-hmm.
But his company is called Gameco. And believe it or not, he's working with Bandai Namco to come out with Soul Calibur. So it's based on,
that's
I think
huge.
It's the same algorithm to play Soul Calibur, get to so many levels, and you're gonna earn money by beating the computer. Or you're playing one-on-one on somebody, and the casino's getting a rake from it.
And that's what we want.
Of course that's what you guys want. That's what all gamers want. I mean, that's what I want to see on a casino floor. Because right now, you were in Vegas for 3 days. You didn't drop one nickel into a slot machine. And for good reason. It doesn't appeal to you.
No.
Right. But a Centipede game, Asteroids, Space Invaders, whatever it is. If we can make it into a game where you can play long enough and have a good time and have fun, that's entertainment. That's money for the casino because they can make money on that if they're taking a rake, if someone's playing against another person's Soul Calibur, or they're playing against the computer itself. There's so many ways that you can cut this up. But there's a lot more to that. If they keep you in the casino longer, then you're buying more food and beverage. You're getting a hotel room. You're going to the pool. You're utilizing all the amenities as well. Exactly. And this is something I think that they have to move in that direction. And this is why at the CEC, I've gotten nothing but accolades and great quotes and people saying that it's a great event because there's no event like it on Earth right now. It is literally trying to teach the old guard that if you really want to have new people coming into your casino and sitting down and having fun and playing games, then you need to be a little bit more open. You need to understand that, no, you're not going to make the kind of money that you made for the last 20, 30 years where you had a slot machine on your floor and people were literally losing $5 to $20 in a matter of a minute or less. I mean, literally, the mentality, and I'm not trying to bash on the casino industry, but literally the mentality is, we're really just going to take any money that I can get from you when you walk through the door.
And honestly, that's fine, because that's what really businesses are made to do. They're made to take your money, but there definitely needs to be more focus put on the actual audience, the community, the players, because I think that the younger you go, the kind of, not smarter they are with their money, but they're less apt to throw it away.
Well, there's one thing in taking your money, and it's one thing to take your money, and another thing to take your money, and you can walk away knowing that you had a good time.
Yeah, I agree. Bringing value.
I mean, I got to tell you, I've played slot machines many times before. I was in Las Vegas for an entire week before the event, and I stuck $20. It was gone in about a matter of like less than a minute.
Yeah.
And when you walk away from a slot machine, you don't really feel like you're entertained. I mean, after a while, and I'll explain. I'll give you a little description. You're playing a penny slot machine. And you get a big ding and all kinds of music goes on, and then you look at the screen and you won 5 cents.
Yeah.
I mean, really?
False.
All of that noise and nonsense for 5 cents.
It's not satisfying.
That's not appealing to me. That's almost insulting.
Yeah.
So I can understand from anyone's perspective of why they wouldn't want to spend more time in a casino, because really, when anyone, especially a younger generation person, a Gen Z or a millennial, sees a slot machine, they know right away that they're never going to win, that the chances are not on their favor, and it's just not going to feel like you had a good time when you get up after you've just got $30 ripped out from underneath you.
Yeah, it's like someone taking it from your pocket. You might
exactly.
Yeah, you might win, but the chances are very low, and I think for most, it's not worth the risk. The reward is not worth the risk.
It's just not fun.
Yeah. I don't want to see wheels spinning in front of my face saying the same thing.
Right.
I think the skill-based is definitely the way to go.
But yeah, it's like being it's like somebody, like a cat playing with a mouse.
Yeah.
And what it is like the casino industry, they love those machines a lot. Like it's like trying to pull.
It's tradition.
Well, not only is it tradition, but it's also trying to pull a security blanket away from a baby.
Yeah.
And no one's saying that the slot machines should go away and they should disappear from the face of the earth. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that they should stay where they are, but I'm saying that there is a new genre of entertainment that can come into the casino that will bring young people in, that will give them a good time, and the casino will make money. They won't make as much, but they'll make money. And look at the perfect example is Dave and Buster's.
Yeah, you're right.
Dave and Buster's, you come in, people have a wonderful time. They're very happy. And what are they giving away? Prizes.
Yeah.
You know, prizes that they got from, like, you know, Oriental Trading Company, which
was cheap.
Probably, you know, like, that cost them, like, 3 cents. You know, small basketballs. But, I mean, even if it were that, even if a casino set up and said, you know what, we're just going to put all these games in and people can, you know, we'll print out these, you know, not even for real money, for fake money. You put real money in to play.
Yeah, like a card.
A card or something like that. And you're going to get some kind of slip that, you know, says you've reached this level and this is what you can get at our store, you know, as a reward.
Yeah.
And not even giving out money, but like just taking the money for people to have a good time.
Yeah, it's an arcade.
You know, basically an arcade, yes, but some kind of more sophisticated arcade with VR and AR. But a lot of this stuff scares the shit out of them.
Why do you think it does?
They don't understand it. You know, they think like Jay Moses said, they all think that it's their 12-year-old playing the video games in a room somewhere. But the truth of the matter is that it's an older crowd of people that want to play these games.
Yeah, it really is.
And so that is the biggest, like I said, there's a lot of barriers to entry. We are moving that needle slowly. The CEC is moving that needle into the direction that it needs to go in so that it will be beneficial and helpful to the casino industry in the long run.
And I think that's exactly what you've been doing with the CEC.
But like Wayne Kimmel said, and I'm talking about the old guard also being investors because most of the old people are the ones that have money. Like Wayne Kimmel said, you've got to play it for the long term. You know, it's got to be a long-term game. I mean, you have to build your communities. You have to build your following. And eventually, they're gonna get people that are gonna want to come to casinos. They're gonna want to play these games.
It's experimenting too with different ideas, I guess, machines, entertainment ideas. It's just experimenting with what's gonna work for your area, your brand, and your community.
Right, right. Our theme of tonight was like, what are our takeaways from the CEC?
Mm-hmm.
And my takeaway, and there's been a few articles that were written, was I believe that it was beyond a success. It was more than a success. It was opening the eyes of a lot of people to understand that esports is not going away. Video gaming is not going away. Gaming is not going away. I mean, one day my vision is to see all of these games like Next Gen, like Next Gaming is doing with Centipede, with all of the Taito and Atari games, that they are going to be there. They're going to be there along with other games like Magic the Gathering, like Hearthstone, like all of these games that need to be on a casino floor. And, you know, maybe we're not going to call it a casino. Maybe it'll be called a casino. Maybe it'll call it a casino arcade. I have no idea, but it's got to evolve. I know that the casino industry has to evolve, as if it doesn't, it will be irrelevant. It will. Listen, I was there on a Tuesday. I came in on a Tuesday to Las Vegas like a week ago, a week and a half ago before the event. And it was empty. There wasn't anybody in there. And there wasn't anybody in there on Wednesday night. And nobody really piled in till about maybe Friday night, Thursday night, around that time. And it was because most people are coming in to go to the pool, to go to the nightclub, to drink, to party, and have a great time.
Yeah.
But, you know, they have no need and reason to want to wake up and do anything until 3 o'clock in the afternoon the next day. One, because they have a hangover, and two, because, you know, that's what they're there for, to drink and party.
And have a good time.
Pretty much, and have a good time, and that's great, and that's fine. But you know what? Once that's done, and it's done for 1 or 2 days, you're going to get tired of drinking and partying.
Yeah, there's only so many shows that you can go to, so much you can drink, so many clubs you can go to.
Right, only shows you can go to, only so many people, only so many concerts you can see, only so many clubs you're going to go to.
What's going
to
fill in the gap?
Exactly. So there needs to be additional entertainment, and especially for this generation that's out there. There is 4 billion gamers in the world. That's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of gamers. The average age runs from 18 to 34. The demographic is there. The casino industry is not playing to that demographic. And that is why we keep hammering home, you need to come to the CEC, because it's going to teach you how to gain that demographic, how to understand it, and get your hands around it. And this is, I put in the same position in the casino industry, I put it as the same level as movie industry, television industry. Those same people, same old guard people from those industries, I could sit down with one of them and start talking about esports. Their mind, they don't even want to talk about it. They want to walk out of the room.
Yeah.
They really just don't want to talk about it. And the longer they avoid it, the longer, you know, the worse it's going to get for them.
Yeah, at this point, it's growing so fast and everybody's getting a piece. If somebody doesn't get in soon, somebody else will before them, and then you're just out of the game.
What are you talking about? It's already happening.
Yeah.
Twitch is taking over. Twitch and Mixer are taking over the world of entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah, Netflix killed TV and movies.
What's that?
Netflix killed TV and movies.
Exactly. There's always going to be someone that's going to replace what is already existing today. Unless they're a preemptive. And, you know, that's what I do at the CEC. I screamed at the top of my lungs, you better change. You need to change. Learn how to change. Because we can't take a step forward unless we have some kind of guide.
Yeah, understanding. Well, that was a big thing, too. Big question was, how did we get this started? How did the casinos get started in this? And everybody's answer was just hire a team dedicated to esports who understand it, and you don't have to do anything else.
Well, Caesars has already done that.
Mm-hmm.
Caesars has a guy there. They made him in charge. They did some experimenting at the links with some virtual reality exhibits. They've done a bunch of things, you know, to sort of attract the millennials, but it's, and the Gen Zers, but it's almost like, in a lot of ways, it's like, yeah, we're going to put an exhibit in here for you, but they might as well just put in a show like the Titanic exhibit that they have at Luxor.
Yeah.
It's like this, you know, it's like this thing. It's like an installation that you can do this for a few minutes, and then, you know, okay, you've paid a lot of money, you're paid extra to go and play with some virtual reality when you can pretty much do that at home.
Yeah.
You know, it's got to be something that they, you know, where you can win some money. I mean, nobody wants to, listen, everybody goes to Vegas, or they go, you want to win prizes, you want to win money.
Yeah.
You want to win something. I mean, that's the whole point of playing a game. You know, I'm not going to go to a place that's telling me I have to pay to you know, put on some virtual reality goggles, compete against some people, and, oh, wow, I'm a winner. But what did I win? I beat everybody in the virtual reality game. That was great. Oh, I had a good time. But I didn't win anything. So what's the point? Oh, you get a really nothing. You're not getting anything. All you're getting is that you paid money to play.
So you're saying that the experience is there for some of them, but you are in, well, you expect it to push forward where betting can be involved, people can win more money, etc.
Yeah, that feeds into human competitiveness.
Yes.
That feeds into our desire to to grab the carrot. You know, there's a carrot at the end of that stick, and somebody wants to win that carrot. The casino industry hasn't gotten to that point yet, but I believe that they're starting to experiment. They're starting to learn. I think it's going to happen. I think the casino esports conference is going to be one of those events that people are going to keep coming to. We think that it's going to double in size next year. We already are sending out emails. We already have a date for next year. It's going to be the 9th and 10th of September 2020. Same place after Labor Day weekend.
All right, mark your calendars, everybody.
So it's going to be a lot of fun, because we always want to have fun too, but because that's the idea. I mean, listen, what comes to happen is, like, the old guard looks at lots of things as business. And it is a business. Of course it's a business. But I think when you've lost your soul to understand that you really want to bring people in to have fun, then you're not. Then if you're not having fun, they're not having. You know?
I agree.
And I think that's a big part of the old guard's misconception of how they can capitalize on video gaming, esports, and the next generation of people coming in.
Yeah.
Because, listen, go back to the 1950s and 60s and 70s. When people would come in and they'd playing a slot machine and putting money in the slot machine was fun. People liked that. They loved it. They had a great time.
Exciting.
And it was exciting. I mean, you can win money. But listen, the casinos have been losing more customers. So what's happening to their slot machines? They're getting tighter and tighter. So people aren't winning, like, big prizes anymore.
So even that's changing, but not for the consumer.
Exactly. So 20 years ago, when I started and was involved in the casino industry, they used to put out on the internet and also in magazines, somebody holding up a check that they won like $2 million on a slot machine.
Yeah. You'll never see that now, huh?
No, never. That's like a thing in the past that'll never happen again.
Yeah.
One, because less people are playing. So they have these machines called progressives, which are like slot machines that are all over the world, but they're tied into one pot of lotteries. So the more people play that machine, the more money, the more that the pot goes up. You know, because they're putting money in the machine, and then the machine is like collecting all the money.
Yeah.
World, and then that, you know, that pot keeps
coming out.
Right, so they call those progressive slot machines, and you know, the highest progressive amount that I saw that you could win today is like $708,000. You know, and a lot of people might win, but he's winning millions anymore. And to be a millionaire today is, I mean, I wish I was, but, you know, to be a millionaire today is not what it was, you know, 20 years ago.
It doesn't go as far at all.
Exactly. So we're talking about people playing machines and going into a casino and not really winning anything that's going to be of substantial value to them.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's already happening in a casino, then why not just offer people a lot of fun?
Yeah.
Where the casino's still going to make some money and you're going to have a good time and everybody is happy.
Yeah, I definitely think they're just confused on what modern fun is, not in a disrespectful way, but they're just confused on what people want now. But I think that's definitely what you're doing at this conference, and I think that a lot of eyes were opened this weekend, particularly.
Right. Well, we're going to keep moving on, and Ben and I have some really exciting things that are going to be coming out in the next 6 to 7 months that we're working on. But
it's awesome.
Things I can't mention unless somebody contacts me from this podcast and wants an NDA.
Yeah.
A non-disclosure agreement. But beyond that, it's there's a lot of things that are happening. And, you know, I just get frustrated sitting here talking about the investments that people are making that aren't smart.
Yeah.
And besides helping the casino industry integrate video gaming and esports and peer-to-peer play and wagering and all the other things that go along with it, I also want to help the esports industry and people investing in it to make the right decisions on what they're doing, to think about who they're investing in. And that's part of the CEC. So it's not just about integration of the casino and esports world. It's also talking to the esports industry itself and making, you know, and discussing what's the right choices to make so that this industry can evolve. I'm talking about the esports industry, can evolve in a smart way. It's still going to grow, no matter what. If we go the dumb road or we go the smart road, it's still going to evolve and be bigger than any sport out there. But if you really don't want to lose your shirt and you really want a sense of what you feel is the best investment for you, I think as far as the esport industry is concerned, it's also a viable conference to come to on a year-to-year basis and to track your investment process in it and see how your investment grows because of what you can learn.
And make some connections along the way.
And make a lot of connections along the way. So, anyway, but
I think that was perfect.
That's pretty much all for tonight. You know, next time we'll have some articles. We'll be talking about a lot of other things. I'm going to be heading Global Gaming Expo in Las Vegas in a month from now. Still touting esports, still touting video gaming, working hard to try to get those barriers of entry shattered.
I think that's exciting for the industry.
Oh, it's exciting for it's a whole nother ecosystem. As Seth Short called it, it's a movement.
It is a movement. I couldn't agree more.
Yeah. Anyway, Jen, thank you so much for having
me. No problem. Thank you for always being a part of it bi-weekly. Thanks to everybody listening. Have a good day.